Wow, goodness. Was that you in that video? I don't know. Okay, all right. Just checking. Not sure. Oh, man. I've had happen before where I'm leaving a place and I thought it was a push door, but it was actually a pull door. And I'm kind of like, you know, and then I have a worse decision do I make. You know, it's like, do I let people know that they all saw what just happened, or do you pretend like nothing happened and you get out of there really quickly? But what I like about these videos is you had all these people who thought these were clearly open doors, and they weren't, right? They found out really quickly that these were not open doors to go through. And so, you know, it's kind of just pulling back just the curtain a little bit to go, we all have open doors in our lives. We all have closed doors in our lives that we're going to face. And so some of those open doors look like, if you're in high school or a young person, you're wanting to get into a certain school. And so you're sending out your applications, you're sending out your letters, and you're trying to get that open door to get into that university or maybe that trade school, or you're trying to get that job, whatever it might be. You're looking for that open door in that relationship with this person or whatever it may be. You're wanting to take that trip. And so there's these open doors that you're hoping for, but the reality is, even if that door opens, it can just as easily close, right? Like, that school that you thought was so great actually is not as awesome as you thought it was going. You lose the job you thought that was going to be this perfect job. Potentially, you have the closed door of your health just simply begins to fail. And so, doors open and doors close, and the big question simply becomes, how do we navigate the open doors and the closed doors in our lives? How do you know when to walk through? How do you know when to stop? How do you, right? All of those types of things. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I want to show you from the moment in the life of a Christian by the name of Paul, how Paul and his friends navigated open doors and closed doors in his life. And then I also want to show you the one way that you and I can navigate these doors in our lives. And so we're in this series called The Church with Open Doors. We're journeying from Acts 15 through Acts 18 for the next few weeks. And just looking at, like, okay, what does it look like for the church to have open doors? Both open doors for people to come in and be a part of what's happening here, but also open doors for Christ followers to go with the gospel in their lives. And so I'm really glad you're here. My name is Fritz, if we haven't met yet. Super excited for everybody here in the house. And then I'm going to ask you who are here at Lighthouse Community, because we do have a couple of guests who are joining us who aren't in the building. And I'm wondering if you would help me welcome this morning everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online and Bluffton Community down in Bluffton this morning. Would you let them know? We know they're here, and welcome them. Yeah. Hope you can hear that this morning. This house loves that you guys are part of our church family. All right, before we go any further, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we thank you that you are the one who opens doors. We thank you that you are the one who closes doors. There are even passages in the Bible that says, doors you have opened, no one can close. Doors you have closed, no one can open. And so we are grateful for that ministry of the Spirit, that ministry of Jesus, that ministry that you have in our lives. My prayer today, as we journey through this passage, would you lead us to trust? Would you lead us to trust your wisdom, your plan, your guidance? May you actually bring us all to a place of deepening faith that says, my God knows better than I do, and my God has a better plan for me and those around me than one that I could ever hope and dream for. And my God is good. I have no reason to question him or to doubt him. Would you bring us to that kind of place of faith in our lives today? We trust you. We're longing for you, Holy Spirit, to speak in our lives this morning. Touch on the very, very deep, intimate parts of our lives, perhaps that things we've never expressed to anyone. Lead us in truth, we ask, through the great name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're actually going to be in Acts 15 this morning, so just add 10 to what Josh said, no big deal. But Acts 15, and I'm going to read through a couple of passages. We're going to start in verse 36. We'll pause, give a couple of comments, and then we'll move on. Here's what it says. Acts 15, starting in verse 36. It says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we've preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, quick context. So last week we talked about this council that met in Jerusalem that was figuring out the pathway. Do you have to be a Jew in order to be a Christian? They came to the conclusion, no, you don't. Gentiles, you just follow Jesus, but there's these four requirements we're going to ask you to step into because that's going to help us to walk in unity, Jews and Gentiles, to walk in unity, in fellowship, in the mission of the gospel together. And so that's where we ended last week. And so now we're picking up where Paul and Barnabas are ready to go out and start sharing this news with the Gentile and the Jewish believers who are out there so that there's clarity on that. So they're ready to go back, and they want to strengthen and encourage all the churches that had started from their first missionary journey. Okay, so this is the second trip that they're getting to go on. And what happens is there's now a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, right? And the disagreement is over Barnabas' cousin named John Mark. And so what had happened back in Acts 13, John Mark had gone with them on their first missionary trip, and as they're going along, we're not sure why, not sure if John Mark got scared, don't know if he got homesick, not sure what happened, but at some point, John Mark said, I don't want to do this anymore. And he left. And he went home, all right? And so Paul and Barnabas just kept right on going to doing the work that they were doing. And so Barnabas is like, hey, he's a super encouraging guy. He loves walking with people. He's like, let's give John Mark another chance. And Paul's like, no, let's not, and say we didn't, right? And so they're kind of debating and whatever, and they get into this really sharp disagreement so much, the team splits. That's a door closing. Think about that. The band that traveled before has just broken. It seems like, well, nothing's going to happen now. But a new door opened because what was a single team going out to strengthen and encourage the churches now became two teams. Barnabas went with John Mark and Paul went with Silas. And so now you have multiplication that's beginning to happen among them. And so one door has closed, and yet now another door has opened. Now, I'm going to kind of show you this bonus door that's open that you wouldn't know about from just reading Acts. The bonus door is reconciliation. See, what you might not know if you don't know the rest of the story is, right, so Barnabas leaves with John Mark, Paul leaves with Silas, and they go their separate ways. By the way, you never hear again about Barnabas in the book of Acts. This is the last time that he's mentioned in the book of Acts. And so you're kind of going, okay, story must be over. They're unhappy. But later, when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul is writing to Timothy. We're going to meet him in just a moment. But what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, he goes, listen, when you come, grab Mark. I found him useful. He's actually helpful to me in ministry. And so earlier, where Paul is going, no, he can't come with us, right? Like he left us before. He's of no value. He's not going to help us later on. He changes his mind. He repents of that idea, and he goes, grab Mark. Make sure he comes along. He's helpful to me in ministry. Now, let me circle all the way around this, because some of you don't even realize this Mark, who this team got split up over in Acts 15, who later Peter or Paul says, yeah, go ahead and bring him. This is the same Mark. If you've read in the New Testament, the second book in the New Testament, you have read Mark's gospel. This is that John Mark. That this guy who was seen as no good, who ran out, who, right, all of that, God had actually strengthened him to the point to fill him with his spirit to write one of the most important writings that we have, the gospel of Mark. And so what seemed like a door closed actually ended up becoming a door opened a little bit later. And so that's what happens here. Now, if you go forward into the story, picking up in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, it says this, Paul came to Derbe
and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy, there we go, we're meeting him, he lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Of these doors, again, opening and closing, Paul meets this young disciple by the name of Timothy, and a door is open for Timothy to join the team. So now you have Paul, you have Silas, and you have Timothy on the journey, going around, sharing the gospel, strengthening churches in the area. But there's a challenge. There's a closed door. And the closed door is Timothy is part Jewish and part Greek, and he's not circumcised. And if he goes around to the synagogue, actually, he's not even allowed in the synagogues as a Jewish person. See, you and I look at this and we go, well, what's going on here, right? This is actually a barrier to ministry in the Jews, because you have to understand Paul's strategy when he would enter into a town that he had not been to before to share the gospel. Just out of curiosity, does anybody know the first place that Paul would always look for and he would go to when he entered into town to share the gospel? Anybody know what it is? Synagogues, yeah, perfect. He would find a synagogue. And if you don't know what a synagogue is, that is simply a Jewish house of worship. And so he would go and start with people who already had been familiar with the Old Testament scriptures and begin to explain to them how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those. That was his starting place. And Timothy would not be allowed to go with them as a Jewish person who is uncircumcised. And so that was a door that would be closed to ministry. Ah, but there's a way to open that door. And Paul took it, right? Not sure how excited Timothy was about it, but, right, that's commitment to the gospel, man. So we're going, hey, take a membership class. Those aren't the same. I'm just going to tell you that right now, okay? Now, some of you, right, you're putting pieces together. You're going, wait a second. I was here last week, and last week you said, the Bible said, you don't have to be a Jew in order to be a Christian. And I would say you're exactly right. But Timothy was already a Jew. And so those requirements were actually for Gentiles, that they didn't have to become Jewish people. The issue here is not that somehow Timothy is less saved because he is circumcised. What he is he has a barrier to be able to minister to his own people, because everybody knows his background. And so Paul says, let's do this. Let's remove the barrier. Because you and I, we look at this and go, oh, that's weird, you know, this whole circumcision thing. But you have to understand, a Jewish male who has not been circumcised, this is the same thing as spitting in the face of God. This is disowning your faith. This is disowning your heritage, your tradition, everything it means to be a follower of God, to be one of the chosen people. And so Paul says, let's remove that closed door and make it an open door to ministry. And so that's what they did. And doors opening, doors closing. Now look at Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. It says this: Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Twice, they try to go north and they try to go east, and it was a closed door. God would not let them go towards Asia, would not let them go towards Bithynia. God kept them from going to share the gospel. Why? It's not sinful, right? It's not wrong to share the gospel. Why would God stop them? They're simply following Jesus' command that as you're going, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're simply doing what Jesus had commanded them to do. Why was God keeping them twice from going to Asia and Bithynia? And I'm going to tell you, We don't know. All right, we have no clue. The scripture does not tell us why God prevented them. All we know is he did, and that's what matters. Let me say that again, because that's very important. We don't know why God prevented them from going. All we know is he did, and that's what really matters. That's what's really important about this. You see, for a lot of us, you have this mindset that you believe that saying yes to Jesus is all about choosing the right and staying away from the wrong. That being a Christian is being good and staying away from evil, right? And so what you've done is you've put all of this into this black and white box, and as long as I do good, as long as I do right, and I'm staying away from wrong, and I'm staying away from evil, then I am a good Christian. What do you do with a moment like this where it is not wrong? It's not sinful. It's not evil to share the gospel with people in Asia and Bithynia. This must mean that following Jesus, it includes right and wrong, it includes good and evil, but it is far ops. Saying yes to Jesus, following Jesus, is far more about trust than it is anything else. That following Jesus is far more about trusting God than it is about anything else. You see, I'm not even sure that Paul understood why God stopped them. Why would I say that? Because he tried twice. He tried twice, and he got stopped twice. And it wasn't until he had a vision of a man in Macedonia that they made, right? So they've got this closed door. They needed to trust God's leadership. Even though logically it didn't make sense, they needed to trust the leadership of God, because that's what following Jesus Christ is actually all about. That's why we say we help people say yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives, right? We're not trying to set a group of rules and guidelines and laws for you to follow. We want you to learn how to walk in step with your heavenly Father. And so God closes this door, but then he opens a door to Macedonia, right? We're going to talk more about that next week, by the way, because the whole next section is all about the ministry there in Macedonia and Philippi. But he got open that door. One door closed, God opens up another one. By the way, just a real quick side note, I think what's really cool in this passage is there's evidence for the Trinity right here in the verses 6 through 10. That we just read. Notice verse 6, that it was the Holy Spirit who kept them from going. Then look at verse 7. It was the Spirit of Jesus who would not allow them. And then when you get to verse 10, we realized it was God who called us to preach in Macedonia. And so right there, in just a couple of passages, you have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus, and you have God all in this thing. And so, man, it's really fun to just kind of notice where you begin to see each person of the Trinity throughout passages. But I want you to notice that God, right, God will open doors for you, but he will also close doors for you. And our job is to trust him as we walk. That's our job. Because we're all going to face open doors, we're all going to face closed doors in our lives. It's just going to happen. I remember after I'd come to faith in Jesus, I had closed the door. I was like, you know what? I'm just done dating. I'd come to Christ, and I dated a couple people. I'm like, these people are not interested in following Jesus, and I want to follow him. And so I was just like, I'm closing the door on dating. So then my friend's mom started a Bible study for young people, and I'm like, well, I'll go to that. And so I went, and I show up. And there is this girl sitting there who's like really into door, right? And her, I found out her name is Christina. And so I was like, yeah, this is an open door. And so I start talking to her, I meet her, find out about her. I find out she has a boyfriend. Closed door, right? So I'm like, oh, well, that's a bummer. So we're, you know, still going to this Bible study. We're hanging out, all that kind of stuff. And then I find out they broke up. Open door, right? Yes. So... you know, get a sachet over there one day at Bible study. This is my best dance move, by the way. And sachet over there. And yeah, kind of ask her out on a date. Open door. Then we start actually going, you know, committed dating to one another. And then a couple years later, I ask her to marry me. Open door. We get married. Ah! Which means now the door's closed. You know, we're married now. Closed door. because she has a headache. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. But my point is, right, doors will open. Hey, stay with me, okay? Stay with Bluffton. You stay with me, all right? You're like, okay, turn the TV off now. Doors will open. Doors will close. It's just going to happen, right? Like you're going to get this open door to school, to a job, to a relationship. You want this open door for a house or for a car, and then all of a sudden the door closes. Or the door closes on this thing you thought you wanted, but the door opens on this other thing. Right? And so you're now, but we're all going to be faced with open and closed doors. And here is what I want you to really pick up here just a moment. If your hope is based on open doors, if that is the foundation, if that is the source of where you're grounded, is on whether doors are open or closed in your life, if that is where your hope is grounded, at best, you'll live a life on an emotional roller coaster. And at worst, you'll be crushed under the weight of disappointment on the doors that closed that you hoped. You put all of your faith, you put all of your hope, you put all of your weight on the fact that this door was going to work out and stay open for you able to walk through. And so if your hope is based on the doors you want opening, getting open, and the doors you want staying closed, you're going to be crushed under the weight when open doors close and closed doors open that you weren't expected for. This is the point that I was making earlier. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are declaring that Jesus is now the center of our lives. He is the number one greatest priority for me. I'm no longer number one. My priorities are no longer the most important thing in my life. In fact, my priorities now become submissive to the leadership of Jesus Christ in my life. Because you have to understand this. Not your relationship, not the school you got into, not your dream home, not the car you always hoped you'd be able to drive, right? None of that is not what saved you. It was Jesus who saved you and changed you and pulled you up out of the pit and transformed your life. When we are saying yes to Jesus, we are saying that Jesus is your first love and your greatest love over and above anything else. Because look, Paul and Silas, right? All the open doors, closed doors all the time, things they thought they wanted. You know, there's got to be a level where Paul was heartbroken that he and Barnabas were not traveling together. Closed door. And if his hope was on that, he would have been crushed. If his hope was getting into Asia, Bithynia, his hopes would have been crushed. But I want you to notice this common theme in the scriptures. You'll find it in verse 41 of chapter 15. You'll find it in verse 5 of chapter 16. And you'll find it in verse 10 of chapter 16. There's this common theme all throughout it that while doors are opening, doors are closing, problems are happening, things are breaking loose, all that stuff, there's this constant thing that Luke keeps ending every paragraph with. They strengthen the churches. They strengthen the churches. They preach the gospel. Irrespective of a door opening or a door closing, they kept doing what God had called them to do, and they wouldn't stop. You have to understand that no matter the door that opens for you, no matter the door that closes for you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you and I have one main purpose: to share the gospel with every person we come in contact with, whether they're saved or not. The gospel's not only for people who aren't saved. If you've been a believer for 40 years, the gospel is for you. And you need to hear the gospel again and again and again. I need to hear the gospel again and again. And so our main job is to strengthen and to share the gospel, right? Listen, you gotta understand, even Jesus faced open and closed doors. Jesus had people say, "No thanks, I don't wanna follow you," and they walked away. There was a moment when Jesus was in Nazareth, if you've ever read this in the gospel, it says that he could not do any miracles there because of the lack of faith. All he could do was heal a couple of people, which is a whole nother thread I was thinking about last night. I was like, I can't preach on that, I don't have time. But he says, I couldn't do miracles, all I could do was heal a few people. What's the real miracle then? Think about that, right? And Jesus had open doors, right? And then every open door led him to the cross. Every open door led him to the resurrection, Right? Jesus had doors open, closed. And yet every moment, this is the heart of the church. The heart of the church is Jesus Christ. The heart of the church is the gospel. And when we say gospel, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the news of victory by Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is sharing the news that Jesus has won. Jesus is victorious over the enemy that none of us could ever beat. We're still trying to figure out, how do you lengthen out a life? How do you keep out longer in this world? Jesus solved it. He won, right? That's the gospel. And so if you're gonna focus on the gospel, you have to know what the gospel is. And the gospel is this, is that every single one of us is separated from God because of our sin. And if you're separated from God, you don't have life. No God, no life. At least not spiritual life. You might be physically alive, but you're not spiritually alive. And so we're all separated from God because of our sin, and we cannot solve our own problem. And so what Jesus does is he made your problem his problem, and he solved it. That's what he did. Jesus made your problem his problem, and he solved it through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. And so now, because of Jesus' victory, because Jesus has won, what he's done is he's actually opened the door to forgiveness and to a healthy relationship with God that only comes through faith and trust. Right? We talked about it today during communion, that everyone who believes, everyone who puts their trust, everyone who genuinely puts all of their weight, all of their faith in the person of Jesus can have God. And when you get God, you get life, real life, spiritual life, eternal life, right? That's the gospel. And here's what I want to tell you. That is the secret to navigating the open and closed doors of your life. The gospel. Focusing on the victory of Jesus Christ. The reason that some of you are so overwhelmed with life, the reason that some of you are living on this emotional roller coaster when one thing doesn't work out and then this other thing does and then this thing falls apart and the ebbs and flows of life is because you are focused on the doors and the outcomes when you should be focused on the gospel and the victory of Jesus Christ. And if you would make that shift, you would see a dramatic change in your life. It would revolutionize everything about you. This is how Paul navigated the opened and closed doors in his life. He was focused on the gospel. That no matter what was happening situationally, he remembered, I belong to Jesus now. I'm his, and he is mine. And I live for him. I'll walk you through just pointing out a few things from the scriptures that I saw, how to navigate these open and closed doors while we stay focused on the gospel. I'm going to hit them really quickly, so note takers, you're going to be freaking out, and you're just going to have to deal with that, all right? Here's the first one. Spend time with other believers. You cannot navigate life on your own. When you look at the life of Paul, he was always with other followers of Jesus. There is no isolated lifestyle as a Christian. It's community. It's not me, it's actually us. That's how it works. And if you're living an isolated life, disconnected from other believers who can pour into you, who can call you out, who can pray for you, who can walk with you, you're not living in the gospel. You're living in something else. You're living in some form of religion. Here's the second one. Discover and use your gifts in ministry to serve others. Again, this is what Paul, Barnabas, Mark, Silas, Timothy, they're all doing this. They were discovering the gifts as they were going. And they're using it to serve other people with the gospel. And so there's no spectator area in the church. This is a players only, right? And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter retired. What nothing. It doesn't matter how busy you are. It's as we're going. I'm not asking you to double down on stuff at the church. I'm asking you to double down on the gospel. Massive difference. Massive difference. Here's a third way. Share the news about Jesus' victory with other people. Just tell them. It is increasingly common that people simply don't know. What used to be common knowledge last century about Jesus and biblical truth is no longer common knowledge. You will share stuff with people who have never heard what you're talking about of Jesus and what he's done. And so share the news with them. Side story, I wasn't going to share this, but I was in Colorado a couple months ago, and I met a woman. And she was a part of a church, and I just started sharing some of the things that God has done in my life. And by the end of the conversation, she was just in tears. I've never heard that. Nobody's ever told me that. She's like a leading kidney doctor in the United States. She just won, placed seventh in the women's Ironman out in Hawaii, right? She's like, nobody's told me that. And she's just weeping, right? It's like, so we share the victory of Jesus with other people. And here's the last way. Learn how to discern God's leading in your life. This is what Paul and Silas and Timothy were doing. They were trying to go to Asia. They got stopped. Tried to go to Bithynia. They got stopped. And then they realized through this vision, we're supposed to go to Macedonia. So you've got to learn how to discern God's leading in your life. And the only way you get there is through intentional time with the Lord. There's no quick, easy fix to get there. It's just time with Him, spending time with Him. One of the ways I've been trying to spend time with Him more consistently is actually this passage, and I don't have it dialed in just yet, but it's Psalm 107, verse 43. Says, whoever is wise, let him focus on these things, right? Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And so if you really want to be focused on the gospel, this is the verse, right? We actually focus on the unfailing, steadfast, constant love of God, which has been displayed overwhelmingly through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we focus on that. We meditate on that. We let that fill our minds and our spirits and our souls. And that's how we stay focused on the gospel, as doors open, doors close, doors open, doors close. I'm made more than just for that door. My life is bigger than this house. My life is bigger than this career. My life is bigger than this, right? Any of it's led by the Lord. And so simply taking time to memorize Scripture can actually help you begin to discern how the Lord is leading you in real time. And so I want to throw out a next step for you to consider. If you look, grab your blue connection card, look on the back. There's the next step on the right side. It's the second one down. It says, send me an invite to the Lighthouse Community Bible Memory App Group. So this is an app that I downloaded on my phone and have found it really, really helpful in memorizing some different scriptures. And it's just simply called the Bible Memory App. And the logo looks like that. And here's what's going to happen. If you want to join, we actually created a group where we can actually memorize scripture together as a group, as a team. And if you want to get that app and be included and get an invite to that group, just check that box. Make sure your email address is on the other side. We'll send it to you. You can download the app and then memorize scripture along with us. And so like this week, Psalm 107:43 will be on there for us to memorize together. But that can be a way to really spend time, intentional time with the Lord, learning how to discern His leading and His guidance for your life. But right, because there's open doors all over the place. There's closed doors all over the place. How do you navigate them? You focus on the victory of Jesus. You don't put all your hope in the door staying open. You don't get crushed when the door's closed. You just stay focused on the victory of Jesus, the person of Jesus, what He's accomplished. You know, we walked through very quickly these couple of ideas of things like spending time with other believers, discovering using your gifts, sharing the good news about Jesus, learning how to discern God's leading in your life. And if there's one ministry that I could point to in Lighthouse Community that I think helps every believer step into that very clearly, it would actually be our small group ministry. You can do all of those things in our small groups. Now, we're in summertime, which our groups take a break. And that's fine, but we're getting ready. We're gearing up for a launch in the fall, right? In September, October. And here's at least 40 small groups between our two locations. Do you know how many small groups we had last semester just in the spring semester? 23. But 23 between Bluffton Community and Lighthouse Community. We need to get to 40 in the fall. That's just shy of double, right? We're talking about adding 17 additional small groups. We're praying for the Lord to do that. And so, man, we're like tapping on the shoulder of current small group co-leaders, former small group co-leaders, people who've potentially thought about co-leading a small group in the future, because we recognize, man, the team has got to come together. Do you realize how many additional people are part of Lighthouse Community and Bluffton Community today? Right? Between our two locations, it's like 600 people who are regular here that call these churches home. Right? Wild, crazy, amazing what God's doing. And we need to create environments for people to step into that. Now, it's very easy to look at Sunday mornings and go, well, that's the time we need to be there. It's critical. Listen, Sunday mornings are important. But Sunday mornings have a limitation. Sunday mornings at Lighthouse and at Bluffton, these are lecture driven. right? One-way communication. Somebody from the front, for the most part, is sharing biblical truth and content with you, and then, you know, you're engaging and disengaging to different levels. Now, small groups are very, very different. Sunday morning's a lecture. Small group is a lab. This is where you go and you're experimenting with stuff. Hey, I heard that guy up front say this. Is that really true? Or I don't like the way he, or what about this scripture? What about this? What about all these things? You can ask questions. You can try things out. You can work out challenges with people who love you and love the Lord. Will you pray for me? Because I'm going through this thing. I'm facing this challenge at home or at work, right? And we do this thing together. Sunday mornings are critical. Small groups are critical. And if you've never crossed over into a small group ministry, man, I would really encourage you to consider this. And I would throw out an open door to every born-again believer here at Lighthouse, at Bluffton Community, and at Lighthouse Online. Consider, just consider, I'm not asking you to do it, consider co-leading a small group in the fall. And some of you guys are going, whoa, I could never do that. What's involved in that? That sounds like too much. There's no way I could do it. Here's the thing. If you love God and you deeply desire to help other people discover the joy of knowing and walking with Jesus, you may be a really great small group co-leader. You could be a great, incredible one. And so it can be an open door for you. And I'm not asking you to focus on the door. I'm asking you to focus on the gospel. Focus on the mission. Focus on the victory of Jesus Christ. Because here's a question. You go, I'm not ready today. Here's a question. Could the Holy Spirit empower you to do something you never thought you could do? Quite frankly, if the Spirit's not empowering you, you're not going to be able to pull it off. You've got to depend on Him. You've got to trust Him. Could Jesus mature you significantly over the next couple of months before and through leading your small group in the fall? Could God actually grow you because of that? Could God use you to open the door to the gospel for the family and the friends in your life because you co-led a small group in the fall? These are all questions I'm thinking about. I'm wrestling through in my own mind. And I want you to wrestle through them as well. And so here's what I ask you to do. Grab that blue connection card one more time at all of our locations. Take a look at the back, left side, all the way down at the bottom, just above the, I just want to check a box today. And look right above it. Send me info about co-leading a group. This doesn't mean you're going to. It doesn't mean you're on the list. It doesn't mean you're locked in. It just means I'm considering it. And I would be open to somebody sending me some more information to help me to discover if this is an open door that God wants me to walk through or not. That's all it is. That's all you're saying by checking that box. And so if you're just going, I would consider it. Man, we would love to just send a couple of things and put them in your hands. Also, make sure your contact info is on the front of that card. You and I are going to face open and closed doors for the rest of our lives. Never going to stop. How do you navigate them? How do you walk through that? How do you deal with the highs? How do you deal with the crushing blows? How do you deal with the unmet expectations? All of these different types of things. What do? You focus on the victory of Jesus. You dial in on the gospel, and you let that lead you moment by moment, day by day. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and ask Jesus this one question. We ask it every single week, and it's simply this. Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I just want you to listen to Him for a moment. God, I don't know what doors are open or closed in front of my friends today. I don't know what you've opened. I don't know what you've closed. What I do know is your Spirit will guide us through each moment. And what I pray we would do is we would repent, we would turn away from putting our hope on the right doors open, what we would consider being the right doors open. It would seem like every door He went through was the wrong door because every door got Him closer to the cross. And yet that was your exact will for Him, so that we could be free, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a right relationship with you, so that we could share the victory of Jesus that 3 days after He was killed, He was raised from the dead, showing His power and authority over death and sin itself. Will you teach us how to focus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our eyes on the victory of Jesus and share it with everybody we come in contact with.